Morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 3 months 25-26 analyst conference of Carl Zeiss Meditec. My name is Sebastian Frericks. I'm the head of investor relations. Our CEO, Andreas Pecher, and our CFO, Justus Wehmer, will present the 3 months results and guide you through the financials and some prepared remarks. After the presentation, we look forward to the Q&A. I would like to hand over to Andreas. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, analysts and investors. Welcome to the 3 months 25-26 analyst conference of Carl Zeiss Meditec AG. Maybe some of you know that I've been a Zeiss executive board member since January 2022. Back then, in the very early part of that month, MET was valued above 16 billion euros. Now it is valued at below 2.5 billion euros. This is not acceptable for all of you, and also not for Zeiss. Zeiss has taken the biggest loss of all, above 8 billion euros since then. And the new low point also is in the level of trust when, you know, we had to withdraw our full year guidance on January 22nd. The minimum I can do is to apologize, which I want to do personally and on behalf of the management board. I assume more important for you and also Zeiss as the main shareholder is that we reverse the trend and build up trust again by working on our business performance and meet what we said before over and over again. For that, we need to strongly focus on execution now. We will talk about how business conditions have evolved since our last update in December 2025, and what the key building blocks are for the remainder of the fiscal year. Justus will address these topics in more detail later in the presentation. And of course, following the presentation, we'll be happy to take your questions. But before that, Justus and I will walk you through the quarterly overview and financial results. So let me start with an overview of our first quarter performance. Well, to cut it short, this was not a good quarter, and we're not happy with the results. We had a weak start to the year with both revenue and EBITDA coming in below the prior year, driven primarily by currency headwinds and an unfavorable product mix, with weaker sales of refractive treatment packs as well as intraocular lenses in China, which weighed on margins. Revenue for the quarter amounted to 467 million, representing a decline of 4.8% year-over-year. On a constant currency basis, revenue declined by 2.1% year-over-year, driven primarily by movements in the US dollar. When fully reflecting all currency headwinds, FX effects amounted to 20 million euros. FX adjusted revenues was relatively flat at minus 0.7%. And beyond the US dollar, these currency impacts were mainly related to the Chinese yuan. In this adjustment, we are also eliminating all currency effects related to the exports into the Zeiss Group global distribution network. The revenue decline was visible across both equipment and consumables. The quarter was impacted by a soft start into the fiscal year, following an exceptionally strong equipment delivery baseline in September last year. And in China, we also saw revenue loss from bifocal intraocular lenses following their withdrawal from the current VBP tender, as well as delayed sales of refractive treatment packs due to the later timing of the Chinese New Year holidays. Looking at the revenue mix, equipment accounted for 52%, consumables for 37%, and services for 11% of total revenue in the quarter. Order intake reached 471 million euros, down 9.7% year over year, or down 6.9% on a currency adjusted basis, which is mainly related to the strong year-end close in September 2025. Our order backlog increased to 405 million euros at a slightly higher level compared to the end of last fiscal year. Now turning to profitability, EBITDA came in at 8 million euros, a 77% decline versus the prior year, resulting in an EBITDA margin of 1.7% compared to 7.2% last year. The significant decline was mainly driven by negative effects and unfavorable product mix and negative operating leverage, as our cost base remained largely stable while revenues declined. So now I'd like to hand over to Justus, who will provide you with more background and will discuss the SPV figures in more detail.
Yeah, thank you, Andreas, and also warm welcome to all of you from my side. So as usual, I will briefly walk you through ophthalmology performance first and afterwards microsurgery. So we had a weak start driven mainly by refractive phasing and a loss of bifocal IOL sales in China. Let's start with the revenue. Reported revenue came in at 357 million euro, which is down 5.1% year on year. And foreign exchange adjusted basis, revenue declined by 2.4%. The performance was impacted by several factors. Of course, currency headwinds, as already explained by Andreas, strong equipment sales at prior year end, which created a much slower start in the following month, and later phasing of refractive treatment pack sales due to the later occurrence of the Chinese New Year vacations. And ultimately, the loss of the bifocal IOL sales in China, where we have reported that we lost there the right to participate with one lens category in the tender. One item to highlight here is the potential bifocal IOL scrap risk associated to what I just explained and estimated at around 8 million euro in total, which will fall in quarter two. This will be treated as a non-recurring impact, and it's worth noting that registration of the successor model is progressing well. The chance seems good to receive the license before the start of the next tender. Moving to EBITDA margin, the EBITDA margin declined to minus 0.4%, representing a 5.2 percentage point decrease year on year. This was mainly driven by a 1.9 percentage points decline in gross margin, largely due to the currency effects and an unfavorable product mix. The OPEX ratio weighed on margin by additional 2.8 percentage points, although absolute expenses remained stable, as particularly the changes in APAC currencies cannot be locally hedged with most of our OPEX in euro. Finally, looking at the revenue split, ophthalmology accounts for 76% of total OPT revenue. And within ophthalmology, consumables represent 46%, equipment accounts for 45%, and service contributes 9%. Turning then to microsurgery, overall, we saw a margin decline mainly driven, again, by currency headwinds and an unfavorable product mix. Revenue reached 110 million euro, which is down 3.7% year on year. On a currency adjusted basis, revenue declined by a more moderate 0.9%. The softer revenue performance, despite a relatively modest comparison base, is largely explained by exceptionally strong deliveries towards the prior fiscal year end, which created a pull forward effect. In addition, we saw an unfavorable mix with slower deliveries of neurosurgical microscopes following the strong year end close in September 25, which not only impacted revenue phasing, but also weighed on profitability. The EBITDA margin decreased to 8.7%, representing a 6.5 percentage point decline year on year. This was mainly driven by a 5.5 percentage point decline in gross margin, reflecting currency effects, an unfavorable product mix, and the amortization of capitalized R&D related to Kinevo. In addition, the OPEX ratio weighed on margin by around 1 percentage point, while absolute expenses remained stable. Looking at the revenue split, microsurgery accounts for 24% of total revenue, and within microsurgery, equipment represents the largest share at 79%, service contributes 15%, and consumables account for 6%. Let me walk you through our regional development. Overall, EMEA remained stable, while we saw softer performance in the Americas and APAC. Starting with the Americas, the region accounts for 25% of group revenue. Revenue came in at €117 million, down 13% year over year, with currency adjusted revenue declining by 6%. This reflects a weaker investment climate driven largely by heightened geopolitical volatility and a decline in key markets, including the US. Overall, demand momentum in the US remains subdued during the period as a consequence of overall tariffs related price increases. Moving to EMEA, EMEA represents roughly 37% of group revenue and showed a largely stable performance. Revenue reached €174 million, moderately below last year, while currency adjusted revenue actually grew slightly. This resilience was supported by growth in selected markets, particularly in the Middle East. At the same time, core European markets, including Germany, Spain, and the Nordics, remained broadly sideways. Finally, Asia-Pacific region, APAC represents 38% of revenue, with China contributing 18% in this quarter. Revenue amounted to €178 million, down 3% year over year, with a currency-adjusted decline of 2%. Performance across the region was mixed. China remained stable, while India and Australia showed positive trends. This, however, was offset by weaker revenue in Japan and South Korea, which weighed on the overall regional result. Turning to the P&L, margins came under pressure in the quarter while operating expenses remained broadly stable. Gross profit declined to €227 million, with the gross margin decreasing to 48.6% from 51.4% last year. This was mainly driven by currency headwinds, a lower contribution from neurosurgical microscopes, IOLs, and refractive treatment packs, as well as higher amortization of capitalized R&D expenses related to Kinevo. Looking at operating expenses, total OPEX was flat year over year at €226 million. However, as a percentage of sales, OPEX increased to 48.4%, reflecting a negative operating leverage. As a result, profitability was significantly impacted. Both EBIT and EBITA declined sharply. Earnings per share decreased to -6 euro cents, driven by the sharp EBIT decline and negative financial results, primarily due to higher interest expenses. On an adjusted basis, adjusted earnings per share was 3 euro cents, excluding non-cash valuation effects on contingent purchase price liabilities, while exchange rates and hedging results were not adjusted. The next table provides a brief overview of the bridge from EBIT to EBITA and to adjusted EBITA. Regular amortizations on purchase price allocations amounted to €7 million in Q1, including DORC effect of €6.5 million and smaller effects from former acquisitions. In terms of special items, the current quarter includes legal expenses in connection with a lawsuit related to former Yantech in the US. On the contrary, the prior year benefited from a one-off gain from public grants received in China for our IOL production. Adjusted for special items, EBITA amounted to €10.3 million with a margin of 2.2%, significant decline compared to previous year. Next, we have a quick overview on the cash flow statement. We saw a clear improvement in operating cash generation. This improvement was mainly driven by a strong reduction in receivables, particularly from third parties, as well as income tax refunds, which reflect the weaker operating result in the period. Cash flow from investing activities also improved, primarily due to lower investments in property, plant, and equipment compared with the prior year. Financing cash flow declined, mainly impacted by the reduction of liabilities to the Zeiss Group treasury. By end of Q1, net financial debt decreased to €282 million at a lower level compared to a year ago. And now I'd like to hand it back to you, Andreas.
Thank you, Justus. So let's move to key topics and outlook. I will outline the main triggers behind the current guidance suspension and also share my recent impressions from a visit to China. That happened last week. Then Justus will illustrate the key building blocks shaping our outlook for the remainder of the fiscal year. So let me briefly explain what has changed since December 2025 and why we decided to temporarily suspend guidance in January. Well, let me start with the bifocal IOL situation in China. As we communicated at the December 24-25 analyst conference, full year, our conference, our bifocal IOL was withdrawn from the existing VBP tender. As a result, it cannot longer be sold to public hospitals under that framework. While the product license itself remained valid, there is still, of course, ambiguity around the VBP withdrawal, and we were still assessing whether limited sales to other markets or the private sector are feasible. At the same time, the treatment of existing inventories remained unclear. In a worst-case scenario, this could require partial recall and scrapping of stock. We're now seeing only limited resale opportunities for bifocal IOLs more broadly, as this product has been removed from the reimbursement scheme following the withdrawal of VBP qualification. So since January, we have negotiated a partial recall with external distributors and call size China, which will result in an estimated earnings risk of around 8 million euros for call size Meditech. Second, moving to VBP and competitive dynamics. Our assumption in December was that the second nationwide VBP tender would put some pressure on IOL pricing, but to a lesser extent than the first tender, as we learned from other peers, which are subject to consumables VBP. Meanwhile, we've identified the competitive landscape has intensified more than expected. In multifocal categories, several Chinese competitors have successfully passed registration, increasing price competition. As a result, we now expect pricing pressure in premium IOLs to be tougher than previously assumed. Beyond IOLs, competition in equipment is also starting to heat up, supported by expanding local procurement policies. And finally, on equipment demand, we're currently seeing weaker demand in the US and broader America's market, particularly in the ophthalmology segment. This seems to extend beyond the impact of the strong September deliveries, causing a slower start into the new fiscal year. Based on this, internal sales forecasts have been adjusted to reflect a more cautious CapEx environment for the fiscal year. While putting all this together, regulatory uncertainty in China IOLs, higher competitive pressure, and softer equipment demand, we concluded that temporarily suspending guidance was the most responsible step until visibility improves. We will update the market as soon as conditions stabilize and assumptions can be reliably quantified. We're currently working very hard in defining measures and will update you as soon as possible, latest with the half-year reporting as previously promised. But before I close and hand in back to Justus for the outlook, let me talk briefly about China with a more long-term view. I just came back from an, I would say, intensive visit in China last week. And I was meeting there, of course, you know, government officials, for instance, the Shanghai Party Secretary, Zhen Jinping. He's one of the, well, he is the highest ranking official in Shanghai. We also had the corporate size Greater China Headquarters Campus construction launch ceremony. And of course, we did that alongside many of our customers, the local officials. And lastly, you know, I met a number of our customers, particularly the Aya Group and its CEO, Mr. Li, and of course, our team. And let me be straight in assessing the long-term competitiveness of ZEISS in China. We currently are in a period of, let's call it vulnerability, not having localized our manufacturing fast enough. The transfer of manufacturing for key consumables and equipment is happening as we speak, and we will be largely completing this over the next 2 years. We have all the support we need from our local team and from the local and regional officials, and I will personally look over this. We expect to be strongly competitive again across our portfolio with our state-of-the-art production facilities in Guangzhou and Suzhou. Having the strongest brand in ophthalmology in China, keep in mind, ZEISS is even more recognized from a brand point of view in China as in Germany. Very close relationships with our key customers and an excellent reputation in the Chinese markets. From consumers, just said that, on brand recognition, to doctors, to the government. And this can also be demonstrated by the largest ever infrastructure investment corporate ZEISS has made in China today. That, of course, also benefits Carl Zeiss Meditec. Now back to you, Justus.
Thank you, Andreas. So let me now outline how we are thinking about the timing of new guidance and the main factors that will shape our outlook. At a high level, we continue to see several external headwinds, including trade barriers, regulatory changes, a softer consumer environment, and currencies, which are putting pressure on this fiscal year. Right now, we don't foresee any alleviation of these headwinds in the near term. There are three groups of internal factors we are monitoring closely. First, swing factors, which could move performance either way in the near term. This includes the timing of the successor bifocal IOL registration and launch. We have already received, as we mentioned before, positive signals and currently expect to receive the license around March in time for the new volume-based purchasing tender. We are also awaiting the outcome of the VBP tender expected in April or May, which will have an important impact on our IOL business. And lastly, refractive procedure demand around the Chinese New Year period, which will provide a good indication on overall market sentiment. In the first quarter, as well as extending into January, our refractive consumption data indicates continued stability, whereas the market was quite weak overall based on our data. We are satisfied about our relative outperformance, but currently cannot count on a growth outcome to offset other pressures in the business. Second, non-recurring items. In Q2, we expect the scrapping of certain old bifocal IOL inventory. As just explained, we have agreed with Carl Zeiss China and external distributors to take back a certain quantity of intraocular lenses, which will cause a burden of around 8 million euro to gross profit in the second quarter. We are developing our strategy and reprioritizing R&D projects, which will likely have an impact on IP and cost allocation. And in addition, we anticipate one-time reorganization-related expenses that will mainly affect the second half and beyond. As we have said in our release on January 22nd, more details on measures will be presented with our half-year report. Third, key positive drivers. We expect continued momentum from the VISUMAX 800 and the associated SMILE Pro rollout in China, further global traction for the KINEVO 900S. So overall, while near-term volatility remains elevated, we see both risks and clear operational levers. Once these swing factors crystallize and the one-offs are better quantified, we will be in a much stronger position to provide reliable guidance. Timing-wise, no later than our half-year results. And with this, I'd like to conclude our presentation for today, and now we look forward to your questions.
Yes, thank you so much for the presentation. We will now move on to our Q&A session. For a dynamic conversation, we are happy to take your questions in person via audio line. To do so, please click on the Raise Your Hand button. If you have dialed in by phone, please use the key combination star key 9 to raise your hand, followed by star key 6 to unmute yourself. And we have already received a question. Mr. Reinberg, you may speak now and unmute yourself.
Oh, yeah, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Perfect. Good morning. Oliver Reinberg from Kepler Cheuvreux. Just three questions, if I may. And the first would be on China refractive. I mean, obviously, the kind of Chinese New Year season is starting soon. And given you have just been in China, can you just provide some kind of feedback, A, what you have seen in terms of stocking ahead of the event and also what kind of feedback you get in terms of expectation for the season from your clients. Secondly, just on the counter action you're going to take, I mean, obviously you're going to execute the plan that was developed before. Can you just provide some kind of flavor to what extent you also consider to accelerate this kind of measures given the kind of current earnings pressure? And then thirdly, just on China and the political background, I mean, buy local has been a theme for quite a while. Can you be a bit more specific in which equipment parts you specifically see this kind of pressure? And whether there's also anything happening in the refractive space. I mean, obviously, there's so far no local competition in Smile, but if there's any kind of push towards LASIK or anything here. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Oliver. I can probably take the first two questions and Andreas,
do you mean on the second and take the third one?
Ah, exactly. China refractive. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Oliver, we are actually, as we are sitting here, entering into this Chinese New Year vacation period. And in a nutshell, I think the stocking into the distribution channel is right now tracking on a level that is, I'd say, within our expectations. It is comparable to last year's level, but the proof is then in the pudding. Yeah, the proof is ultimately in the consumption during the vacation period, and I think only once we know that, we will really have a good indication whether our assumptions for this year's overall consumption are actually correct or maybe higher or outperformed or underperformed. On measures, I can tell you that we are in full steam, so to speak, the assessment and the decision-making process on what needs to be done. But I have to ask for your patience, as you know, that we have to follow a governance protocol. And we also, frankly spoken, also don't want to share anything premature here in public, and clearly also not to feed our competitors with information that might be interesting to them. And on the Chinese political pressure, I think
maybe I can add to the second one, Oliver. Thanks for those questions. Well, that was the main reason why I stepped in, right? That we don't want to lose the time here. And, we talked about that in December already. First measures have been implemented. For instance, the commercial organization, that's being rolled out now. And of course, the other items working, together as a team, to make sure that, we develop those plans as fast as we can. That's clear. And implement what we can implement. And for other things, we, of course, need the governance. That's clear. Rest assured that this is one of my and the whole team's highest priorities. Now, coming to the third question, well, let me first come in with sort of a general statement. What we observe is typically there is buy local policies for areas where you have local competition coming up. Of course, because it makes sense, right? Other things have to be imported. We observe that, specifically in the diagnostic areas, and there is some risk in ophthalmic areas. The good thing is we have all this in our hand. We can localize. I mean, we have large, really good, infrastructure in China. We have the right people. I just met them again last week. That can do that, and we have the willingness to do that. And in addition, we also have the support from the local governance and officials. I spoke to them, last week. They really want us to be successful in this market. So I would say we have everything in place to counter that and take on a competition as it arises.
And do you see any risk that this kind of political pressure is also moving the private space of refractive?
I wouldn't say political pressure. I mean, you can call it political pressure. In the end, it is the will to localize manufacturing in parts R&D. And if you follow that, our impression is we have, a very good position in that market. And by the way, that's something that I also see in other businesses of ZEISS. This is not just in medical. I mean, we have that in our vision business as well. And what we see is, as long as we follow those rules, we have a very strong position in those markets. I mean, vision is number one, for example, in China. And there is, of course, strong competition. So we have the means to do this. Of course, work with the officials to make sure that we can do that.
Perfect. Thanks so much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Reinbeck, for your questions. We move on to Mr. John Unwin. You may unmute yourself now.
Morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I actually just had a quick follow-up on Oliver's question on the equipment and the buy local policies. You mentioned it was mainly in diagnostics, but also in other areas of ophthalmology. Is that all other areas of ophthalmology, so refractive, cataracts and microscopes, or one more than the other? So just a quick follow-up there. I'm just interested how order intake has progressed in Q1 and Q2 for microsurgery. Obviously, we saw strong deliveries in the fourth quarter, but have orders progressed well so far year to date? And how do you feel about the ability to deliver those in the rest of the year? Thank you.
Maybe I take the first question. Thank you for those questions, Jan. Well, it depends, you know, in terms of the competition. I would say generally it's probably the highest on the cataract side, right? Then microscopes, I would see that more on the lower end coming in. And then the third one is refractive. That's the way I see it. And the good thing is we have a strong position in China. ZEISS overall is more than 7,000 people working for us in China. We see what's going on in the market. We can react. Essentially, we have the control over that. We can localize things quickly. Of course, you all know medical, has regulatory restrictions. That's clear. But we can do that, and we're willing to do that, and one after the other. And this is nothing new to ZEISS generally. In general, I mean, we've seen that in vision as well. Years ago, we reacted and we're number one there.
Fine. Then your question on MCS order intake and outlook. I think, yes, the first quarter has been soft, but I just spoke yesterday with the management of that division, and they are totally confident that they will make their numbers and volumes. The funnels, the project funnels are full. The order entry comes in. I obviously can't disclose here data for the current quarter, but I think what I want to convey to you is that for MCS, as we had said in December, we for this year think that we will clearly benefit from the global roll-in of the Kinevo 900S and the Pentero good sales volumes that we have seen last year, end of last year, also going into this year. So therefore, I think overall for MCS, we are currently pretty confidently looking into this year. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Unwin, for your question. We will. We now move on to Mr. Metzger. You may unmute yourself now.
Good morning. I hope you can hear me well now. I have three questions. Two on refractive. The first one is about the rollout of VisuMax 800. So last year was better than you initially expected in China. Can you just make a comment how Q1 has continued and where are you right now? Second one is also, you said that in China, refractive was stable. Can you comment whether this stable is related to volume or value, as Smile Pro implies some positive ASP effect? And the last one is, you also said in your comments that the planned delivery of neurosurgical instruments was slower than expected. Is it something that you see it's just temporary, or do you see that will spill over more towards the further quarters? Thank you.
Maybe on the first one, just you saw the picture that we showed, the one with the right background. That's actually me and our team standing together with the management of IA Group and unveiling one of the VisuMax Pro systems, the Smart Pro systems. Just as a highlight there, they are dearly waiting for that, and they were really, really happy to have us roll that out. But was just sort of a highlight, and Justus can go more into the numbers.
Yeah, Oliver, happy to share with you that we are going into this year, and order entry is currently trending nicely. We are in a neighborhood of 50 VisuMax 800 in our books for China, out of which already more than 30 have been shipped and installed. So that, I think, is a pretty solid number after the few months that we are in this new fiscal year. And then your second question, what I was referring to with stable was the procedure numbers. Yeah. And just to also comment maybe on your underlying question, we still see a good pick up in Smile Pro treatments. And from that perspective, I also can confirm that by now we do not see any further deterioration of margin in the market. Yeah. So hopefully that covers your question. And sorry, and you had one on MCS. Once again, I wouldn't derive out of Q1 any conclusions that would indicate softness or weakness for MCS for this fiscal year. As I said, the funnels are very solid, and we also know that this category in the hospitals, so neurosurgical procedures, is a money-making procedure, and therefore we clearly expect that there will be a robust market demand for this year. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Metzger. We have a question by the number with the last digits of 219. Please unmute yourself right now. Thank you.
Hi there. It's Jack Reynolds-Clark from RBC. Thank you for taking the questions. I hope you can hear me. Three, please. So the first is on European core market weakness. Could you run through which subsegments specifically are impacted? Was it refractive versus kind of cataracts versus DORC? What do you think is driving the weakness, and do you think it's temporary or longer term? Pardon me. The next is on the US. So does the ongoing weakness in the US change how you view the attractiveness of the US market for you, from a bigger picture perspective, in the longer term? And then my third question was on the CEO search. Could you update us on where you are with this and share any kind of developments around your thinking about what it is that you're looking for? Thank you.
I'll take the third one.
Yeah. Hi, Jack. It's Justus. So on the core market segments in Europe, actually, I don't know whether that was maybe mispronounced or misunderstood in my statements, because actually we are not so unhappy with Europe. As I said, we have some regions that still grow nicely, and some regions, Germany amongst them, which have a more sideways development in the first quarter. But that I would not yet take as indication of a softness of the business. So therefore, really nothing particular to point out here. I think if I look back on, the 8 years that I'm now here with Meditech, Europe is always a mixed bag. Yeah, you always have due to local politics and so on, you always have different investment behaviors across the board between south and north and east and west. But I think overall, we have always been able to, in total, then grow year over year in Europe. So therefore, really nothing that I would point out here, especially with, since you were asking about any particular business sectors of ours. The US, the weakness that you have commented on, of course, we are not happy with it. But first of all, we have installed in the US a new head of our sales organization, a very industry known veteran who has also worked in his history partially for some of the major US competitors of ours. So, yes, it's an environment in which we have probably more hostile competitors than in other markets, but I don't think that we should give up on it. And there is products in the pipeline, as you know, whether it's the hydrophobic trifocal lens, which we would expect by next year, as well as the VisuMax 800 flap cutting modality, unfortunately only also next year. But I think the completion of our portfolio should actually in the next year give us some better opportunities, or provide better opportunities for us to be in the US in better shape. Mm-hmm. And on this third question, I think
maybe I build on you on the second question. Thanks, Jack, for those questions. Justus and I spent, when was that, three weeks ago, we spent a good week in the US, of course, talking to customers, as we always do that, but also to our team, you know, and the new person heading our US sales organization is not coming from the outside. He was at other companies before he came from another one of our markets and has a proven track record of bringing a lot of value to those markets. That is, I would say, one of the first changes that came out of the new organization. The new commercial organization. So as you see, we're in full swing of changing things, as I would say, to the better. On the CEO search, well, shortly said, it's in full swing, right? I said before, I personally have a strong interest in keeping that short as my family, but, you know, joke aside, we all have an interest, right, to make sure that we have the long-term person in there. So we're currently looking outside and have actually several candidates. And of course, I hope you understand that we cannot disclose anything more precise today, and we'll announce this as soon as possible. But, you know, it will be a person that I would say has solid track record in the medical industry.
Thanks very much. That's super clear. I think I overinterpreted the commentary around Europe. So, yeah, thank you. Appreciate the color.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your question. We're moving on to Mr. David Adlington. You may unmute yourself now.
Morning, guys. Thanks for the questions. Three, please. So firstly, just wondered, you indicated you put through some price increases in the US to offset tariffs. I just wondered much how much price you have put through and whether you were thinking about changing your strategy on price there. Secondly, on gross margins, obviously quite a big impact from both foreign exchange and an increase in R&D amortization. It would be great to get your thoughts on how gross margins might evolve from here through the rest of the year. And then finally, with the VBP on multifocals coming through, I just wondered what you expected the price impact to be, and any thoughts around where volumes might go. Thank you.
David, I start, and Andreas, you just... if you have anything that you want to highlight and I didn't cover on it. Price increases were in total probably in a low single, a high